This episode of The Tome is brought to you in part by RPGNow.com, your leading source for PDF game products, and GamersAddict.com, where you get your physical game books at a discount and a $3 off coupon code of radio, and free swag with every purchase. And listeners like you, who use The Tome's affiliate link or The Tome's Amazon store. Thanks for your support. VorpalNetwork.com.
Hi there, this is Andy Collins. You're listening to The Tome Show. By recent declaration, I am now the Dungeons & Dragons Overgod, and I command you to listen and enjoy The Tome Show.
Welcome to The Tome Show, episode 108. The Tome Show is a D&D news, reviews, and interviews show, and I'm your Tome host, Jeff Greiner. In this episode, I'm going to search for my honor with Dragonborn. Today, I'm doing an episode solo. I don't do that much these days, but now and then I have a product I want to talk about that my regular contributors just aren't ready to talk about themselves. So today, it's Dragonborn from Goodman Games. It's also worth noting that while the Vorpal Network site has been in a major redesign mode after some recent hacking, I have been using the Tome Show's Facebook group more and more to sort of reach out to listeners and talk to you guys. I have a topic up right now asking about your experience with 4th edition now that it's a year old. And I also had a topic up on the group and on Twitter, where you can find me at twitter.com/SQUACH, asking about the idea of using bed music in the show. People were generally honestly against the idea, but many people said something to the effect of, "I don't think I'll like it, but do it anyway, just to see how it goes." So this episode is my See How It Goes episode. I've heard bed music in otherwise talk-only shows before, and I really liked it. I think the trick is just finding the right bed music. But in any case, please check out the show notes at thetomeshow.com to find out who is providing this music, what it's called, and where you can find it. But without further ado, let me introduce the book that I'm reviewing in this episode. It is called Dragonborn. It is for D&D 4th edition, which makes sense given the name. It is published by Goodman Games and is written by some of their staple authors like Jeff LaSala, Aaron Black Dirge Riddell, and Harley Stroh. I feel as though this book was originally designed to try to appeal to anyone playing or running Dragonborn in their game in any setting, because that's a lot of what Goodman Games tries to do. But there is a lot of setting information provided in this book at the same time. So, after our first break, I'm going to explore how well they actually did on these goals. But our first episode of the episode is RPGNow.com. You've heard my picks from RPGNow.com in the past, and this time around, I want to talk to you about the Psychic's Handbook from Green Ronin. This PDF is currently only $10 on RPGNow.com and gives you a new class for your 3rd edition D&D game. It's newly released and brings a whole new feel to the idea of mental powers for your game.
Get the newest releases at RPG Now. Only at RPG Now can you get the absolute latest and best releases from fantastic publishers like Fat Dragon Games, Green Ronin Publishing, and Wizards of the Coast. There are new products every single day. Come to RPGNow.com and get them the instant they're available.
And now, on to the review of Dragonborn. This book, I think, tries to be a supplement for people playing Dragonborn in any setting, and it also kind of tries to be a setting book that describes Dragonborn in the known world, which is what the Goodman Games default setting is called. In some ways, I think it accomplishes this, and in some ways, I think it really struggles. In Chapter 1, titled History and Culture of the North Clans, it describes a Confucius-style warrior culture. Family honor and ancestor worship are a big part of their culture. Since Dragonborn are new to 4th edition and this book assumes a certain culture for them, it could be a great way of putting Dragonborn into your game without really making them flat and lifeless. And some minor adaptations could make it work for most game worlds. That said, the cultural assumptions of this chapter sort of permeate most of the book. So if you don't like it, you may not like anything in here at all. Chapter 2 is called The North Clans, and it goes into detail of the various clans in what they call the northern part of their world. Which, again, in your game world, could be anywhere or anything as long as you can make it fit. You have different clans like the Kenji, who are a swordsman clan with Zen-like blade spiritualism. They provide new feats like the Blade Soul style, which gives a +1 to your fort reflex and will if you're using a weapon encounter or daily power, plus the Dragon Sword Adept Paragon Path to sort of give you some more mechanics to bring about the flavor of this swordsman clan. You have Clan Daigo, which is a paladin clan, which is a bit cliche and very heroic sort of clan. They're traditionalist warriors with the Sword Soren Paragon Path that just sort of fit into everything you would think a paladin would be. You have the Karkanis clan. They're organized and they're a tradition-protecting clan. They've got a large professional army and some mechanics to help you feel like you're part of this protection clan. They have the Strike the Unguarded feat, which gives bonus damage if your AC is higher than your opponent's. And they have the Black Spear Hospitaller Paragon Path, which is all about making fighters into a bit more of a warlord, it seems. You have the Santikor clan. These are the outclass and exiles, who enjoy a life of freedom juxtaposed with sadness. And their feats in Paragon Path are focused on archery, which is something, I guess, according to the archetype, your honor-bound dragonborn from other clans probably wouldn't focus on. And then you have the Aratos clan. These are strong ancestor worshippers to the extreme, and they consult spirits in every action. But they're also relatively forward-thinking, and don't always stick to the same strict adherence of tradition that some of the other clans do. And their feats and Paragon Path are based on following the rules and information given to them by their spirit guides. In Chapter 3, we get to learn about the Southland clans. These are the clans who left home ages ago to go off an adventure instead of strictly sticking to the ancient traditions and staying home with all the other clans in the north. You have the Durishk, which are a matriarchal mystic clan. They have cold-based feats and paragon paths. You have the Kathanan, a clan of goodly wanderers only loosely affiliated with each other, and an affinity for dungeon delving, which is exemplified in their clan feats and the Deep Seeker Paragon Path. And then you have the Moxareth. They are the power-hungry island dwellers. They have an affinity for having warlocks in their clan, and their feats sort of exemplify this, as well as the Venommancer Paragon Path. Chapter 4 provides you with a whole slew of new feats. For the most part, these are good feats for specializing your Dragonborn or making them even more Dragonborn-ish, like improving the use of your claws or scales with your Dragonborn character. Some are written in vague or contrary ways to or open to an interpretation, like the Chain Dragon Breath. Does it end the blast of the normal breath, or do you burst and chain? It's just not real clear how some of these things work. But with a good DM, I think it could easily be worked through. Now, whereas chapters 1, 2, and 3 were very much focused on a certain culture and certain setting assumptions for Dragonborn, the new feat section works really well for people who want to have Dragonborn in pretty much any setting. As do the next several chapters, including Chapter 5, which is called Ancestor Paths. Now, this is an interesting one because you can do a lot with this with your Dragonborn, but it specifically ties to the culture that they discuss, but it can work with a lot of things. This is just pages and pages and pages of randomly rolled charts that combined with different clan modifiers. So if you're from this clan, you get a bonus to this roll or a minus to this roll or whatever. And it creates a history, a randomly decided history for your family or clan. This is not necessary by any means for the game or for anything you might want to do with it, but it gives a real old school feel to the game. It brings me back to first and second edition where you had games where there were just big long lists of randomly rolled charts to figure out what happens here and what happens there. And it's kind of fun. It appeals to me in a lot of ways for fleshing out a character in an interesting or unique way that you don't see a lot today. In Chapter 6, you get new monsters. Most of these are different versions of Dragonborn, either from the vile cult of Apophis, or genetically primal Atavist, or specific to the clans in the book. In any case, you've got a big, long, huge list of lots of varieties of Dragonborn to use, and they could very easily be reskinned into different cultures or different situations. This is a hugely useful section, if you don't mind looking in this extra book to find new stats for Dragonborn. And then Chapter 7 gives you a couple of pages dedicated to items that are tailored to play along with the various clans and the tactics they might use. So these magic items, while useful in any situation, are specifically designed to fit into this culture again. So while this is one of the chapters that can be useful in any campaign, it's honestly still very closely tied to the culture. And if you're going to get the most bang for your buck out of this and many of the things in this book, you are going to want to adapt that culture and that little section of the world into your game setting to really make it sing well. But before I talk more about that, I want to take a quick break for our second sponsor of the episode, GamersAddict.com. The Eberron Players book has come out the very day that I'm recording this. And at GamersAddict.com, you can get it for just over $26. That's already better than the cover price of nearly $30. Plus, add the coupon code RADIO and get an additional $3 off a purchase of $30, usable once per month. That gets you some great D&D products, helps support the show, and lets the sponsor know that you got to them from the Tome Show. So head over, get your Eberron Player's Guide for the new class, race, and rules options provided in that book, and get your pulping Eberron game started while supporting this show.
Gamers Attic Attack! We have dice of every stripe, any color scheme and shape you can imagine. Exclusive dice, gold-plated dice, blank dice, label dice, cheat dice, D8 ability dice, crystal dice, time dice within dice, and jumbo foam dice for when you feel the inescapable urge to pelt your fellow players or annoying commercial announcers. And that's just a few of them! We sell enough dice to form a high-intensity plastic bridge from the Earth to the Moon. What's more, any order over $30 gets $3 off when you use the coupon code RADIO. Who wants a set?
I do.
Who else?
Me.
Anyone else?
Why are you ignoring me?
I'm not ignoring you. I'm cutting you off.
What?
You order a new set every day.
So?
Is there a 12-step program for Diceaholics? Because you, sir, have a problem.
That's really strange of you to say.
Green frosted, red speckled, violet glitter, blue translucent. You couldn't say no to these beauties if you wanted to.
I'm not an addict. I could stop collecting marbles anytime I like.
Marbles? You haven't been buying marbles this whole time. You've been buying dice.
That explains why I keep losing the marbles tournament. Those 4- and 6-sided marbles aren't really all that great for rolling.
You're not only a dice junkie, you're dumb, son. Dumb.
So can I get a set?
What'll it hurt? Sure.
Woohoo! Marbles!
Remember, folks, use the coupon code RADIO to get $3 off any order over $30 at GamersAddict.com.
Okay, so to conclude my look at the book Dragonborn. This book is an odd mix of setting information and new Dragonborn stuff. It's clearly tabled to people trying to play in the Goodman Games default setting, the known world. But it could be adapted to help explain the Dragonborn in other settings with some tweaks. Change some names and history, and the various clans could very well be on Returned Abir in the Forgotten Realms. Since there is very little we know about that area right now, and very little has been detailed in any official books, there's no reason it couldn't fit there easily. Or the lands described here could be on Argon Essen, the land of dragons in Eberron, without too many major problems. At least, I don't think so, given that the Eberron book has only just come out. But ultimately, if the clans in this book don't fit your vision of what Dragonborn are in your world, then this book is not going to be for you. If the pseudo-Asian, honor-bound, ancestor-worshipping clan society does work for your game, however, the Hero's Handbook Dragonborn is going to be right up your alley, and it's probably worth the $20 cover price. Well, in any case, that's episode 108. Email me at thetomeshow@gmail.com or visit the forums. Review the show on iTunes or tell folks about it. That brings more people listening in. That brings in more people listening, and that helps us out a ton. And don't forget to consider checking out the Tomes RPG store affiliate link for products discussed on the show and more. And you can use the coupon code RADIO for the $3 off, just like at Gamer's Attic. It's the same store, just different web addresses. The show gets part of the proceeds, and that helps keep us on the air. Or you can visit the Amazon store, which is still up and running if you prefer that method. Links for things mentioned in the show can be found in the show notes on the website at thetomeshow.com. This has been Dragonborn on episode 108 of
The Tome, The Tome, The Tome, The Tome.
I'm on the wall.